WRNN FM 99.5 presents Heather Hansen O'Neill on the humanity of sales, where purpose meets profit. Made possible by Tammy Hardy, certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. This is where we shine a light on local business leaders who are actively helping our community and learn about the correlation between doing good and profitability. And now, Heather Hansen O'Neill.
Hello and welcome to the Humanity of Sales, where purpose meets profit. We are going to have fun with our guest today. Today we have Mason Zeglin. He is the owner of Milk and Honey, the coffee cafe located right here in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. He was born and raised in Killington, Vermont, went to New England Culinary Institute in Montpelier, and he and his wife have been together for over 17 years, chasing the snow and venture of winter sports all the way to Montana, where he worked for two restaurant tour groups, opening a total of five restaurants, three private ranches, and getting a chance to compete on Guy's Grocery Games twice, The Big Brunch on HBO Max Season 1, and he's currently the host of Chef Swap at the Beach here in the Grand Strand. He's currently using his experience to do something more community-based by opening up this fabulous, small, family-owned and operated coffee shop. If you haven't been there, you got to get over to Milk and Honey. It's wonderful, and I may or may not be addicted to the pistachio pastries, but that's just between me and the scale. So, welcome, Mason. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm just honored to have this opportunity.
It's going to be great fun because we found out recently that Mason and I have a lot in common, but we will get to the adventure side of that shortly. So let's talk a little bit about what community means to the coffee industry and what coffee means to community.
I mean, I was so shocked when I entered the coffee industry for the first time and how community-based it was. I didn't realize how many people you're going to see on the daily, how many people are going to start their day with that cup of coffee. And it's so important to our baristas, our front of house staff, to really try to set that day to be successful in the start of that day. It's really interesting to see how the coffee industry is different from fine dining or dinner service in general. We see our regulars every day to every other day. So we're actually implementing more change in our community than we ever really thought we would. Most people think higher profit means that you can implement more change in your community or industry, but we actually have a strong stance of just like small changes can be large changes.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, I just wanted to point out, like, so to reinforce what you're talking about, like if you're a chef at a restaurant that's a five-star restaurant, people can't go every day and it would almost lose its specialness, right? So you go sporadically at most, right? You might make it a special event for a birthday or some kind of a holiday. But with coffee, we like coffee every single day.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I think some of it is like, You're touching lives, whether you're touching one life or are you touching 10 lives,
right,
you know, in that first hour of your day. Mm-hmm. Being able to give somebody a hug, being able to give somebody a voice to stress what might be going on in their life. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why we run our own food to tables. It just makes it another opportunity where somebody else can actually put a personal touch to that meal service, mm-hmm, that you might not get in a more traditional setting.
Yeah, and I'm going to get a little bit foo-foo for a moment, Mason, because I feel a vibe when I come into Milk and Honey. And it's different. It's different than what I've experienced down in this area. And it's just got this really relaxed, attractive, come into Milk and Honey, have a seat, have some coffee. It's that kind of vibe, right? Was that intentional or did it just kind of happen?
We really wanted to invoke people to feel comfortable, to feel welcome in our space. So we've put a lot of effort into finding different zones for people to hang out in, whether that's a zone for them to be able to sit with their coffee and have a social media moment so that they can like encourage their friends or family to come visit as well. Or is it a zone for them to have a peaceful place to work for the next couple hours and sit down with a laptop and just feel that social pressure of being able to get a lot of work done with and being in a different environment than necessarily sitting at home or sitting in their office. Call it third spacing, and it's very inviting for that. That's why we have different lighting in two different rooms so that you could sit in a more comfortable lighting situation for working on a laptop. And then our brighter, more other side is more conducive to eating and being social and being more talkative, a little bit louder situation because we have our barista bar right there. So you get the sounds of us making coffee and cooking food in that environment that we don't have in the other zone. So it's very interesting to kind of see that all kind of unfold. But first and foremost, we're trying to make sure that people feel inviting and comfortable to come into our space. That involves, live plants, couches, different chairs to like be able to sneak into and get comfortable in, on top of just having some standardized table seating to eat a meal at.
As someone who is in the meeting and events world, I really appreciate the variety of the seating. It's because from day to day, I might be in a different mood, right? A lot of times I'll bring the computer there and work, but sometimes I might just want to cross my legs and sit in one of those little swing things. So I like that you do that. That's very cool. Now, you come from some of these larger areas and it's a different environment. So how do you feel about the small town feel and what it might be able to impact?
I love small town charm. And I think that's what we're really trying to bring to the Grand Strand at the same time, is this sense of feeling somewhere else, but still like feeling that you're in the Grand Strand. We've lived most of our life out in the mountains, living a very active outdoor lifestyle. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to bring the plants in, like that outdoor meets indoor kind of lifestyle. And then we really wanted to bring an experience from everywhere we've been, all of our traveling. So whether we picked up our favorite coffee in Central America or our favorite latte out of New Zealand, Belgium, the UK, we really wanted to bring all of our influence from all of our traveling and all these other areas that we've lived and pull them and influence our restaurant with it. And I think that's what we were really trying to do in that aspect. Like, how do we give this like big city vibe and this small town charm at the same time?
I think you succeeded with that. Now, something that if people haven't been into the location yet, that they might want to know is that you also have a store element. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, we have kind of gone a little bit above just trying to like brand ourselves with our retail section. We try to offer sometimes it's art from other countries that we like to go to ex like to go try their coffee. So right now we've got some hammocks from Nicaragua. We've had grass baskets from Africa, like in the Kenyan Ethiopia region where we like to get coffee from. We have all of our milk and honey swag, of course, hoodies and t-shirts, things of that nature, because we're really trying to represent our brand that way and give people, the fun of gifting their favorite coffee shop to their friend.
And you have some
And
local artists too, right?
yeah, definitely. We've done like local mugs that were handmade. We've hung, local art. Sometimes it's postcards, sometimes it's local art authors that are writing books in the area. It's just another way for us to network with our local community and bring them into the same surroundings as our store, which is kind of nice. It's nice to have that like small town feel in that aspect of yes, we have some gift cards that you might be able to get for a friend, but they're also seatable. So they're actually handmade paper that's actually been seeded with wildflowers from the surrounding area. And you can actually plant that card in the ground once it's read and once you've gifted it to somebody and actually have some wildflowers come a bit. So we were really like thoughtful of like where
I
we.
love that. Love that. The next time I come in, Mason, you have to show me where that is. I think that is super, super cool. I haven't seen those. That's really, really cool. So, Mason and the folks down there at Milk and Honey Cafe, they care about the world, right? You care about the community, you care about the world, and sustainability is a big focus for you, right? So whether it is selling cards that you can plant and they turn into wildflowers, which is just so cool, to some of the interesting new ideas that you have, I don't want to play. I'm just going to plant the seed. You can tell us a little bit more about what that means as it relates to the beans.
So I think sustainability and community can be talked about at the same time a lot of the times. I think that you can implement change in people's lives in a very small platform and kind of work your way up into a larger platform. I'm a small town kid. I grew up on a small self-sustainable agriculturalist farm. My parents grew everything that we could grow or raise for our own consumption year round. That included
Awesome.
preserving things, root cellars, things of that nature. I tried to affect my community by taking students in from the culinary program, and giving them an opportunity to learn one-on-one with an experienced chef. And now we're trying to look at, I'm really trying to grow myself into how can I make change that's larger than just the four walls of my kitchen, just the one community that I'm in. And that's really leading us to sustainability in the coffee industry. It's been a movement for a while, but it still has had a hard time really setting its roots in. We're looking to partner with Bellwether right now for the one of the most sustainable roasters in the country. They've won a bunch of awards on their green platform. And that includes having a distribution company for the dried green beans that you're going to be roasting and turning into roasted coffee. This platform includes 26 farms from around the globe that are very actively looking to be more sustainable in the coffee industry. So that's whether that's water reservation or planting ecosystems around their coffee plants so that the ecosystem isn't being dramatically affected by the growing of these beans. It also includes a platform for further education and natural disaster relief funds. So if a hurricane comes in and wipes out an entire farm in a third world country that's never going to get any assistance to rebuild and be able to keep the industry going, they can go in and help these farms and try to rebuild these farms so that they can keep getting product to the markets. And then they go in and do market analyses so that they can pay above a fair living wage for the product that they're buying so that the coffee industry will stop shrinking and start growing again. So they're trying to collab these farms together and try to get them to grow a culture that will be there for the next generation and the generation after that of their family members. And I think that's really important in this industry because we are losing coffee farms at a pretty drastic rate. There's a lot of countries that don't grow any coffee beans anymore. Cuba's one of them that really hardly grows any beans anymore. Puerto Rico got wiped out by a hurricane 4 years ago, and their crops are just at about 25% of where they were 4 years ago. And most of their product doesn't even leave the country right now because they just aren't able to grow enough. So I definitely think it's something that needs to be talked about more. And at the same time, like, what are we doing as customers that's going to help preserve this commodity for the next generation and hopefully grow it in a way where our farmers are being taken care of? What does that look like for the future?
You know, there's so much that I absolutely love about this. I think it's very important to have that bigger picture, that thing that you're looking to contribute to. And this is a fantastic way that is a win-win-win-win to serve so many. But I also wanted to point out something that you said earlier in the story, and that is you can start small. Right? You start with what you have in front of you. You start just by thinking, what is this intentional thing that I want to do to make the world better? We're going to smile and we're going to ask people about their day. And then it grows into, you know, how can we serve better or bigger or differently to impact the world in a positive way. So I really like where this is going. And I could continue right now for a very long time talking about this, but it's time for a commercial break. So we are going to go to a very quick commercial break. Listeners, stick with us because on the other side of the break, I'm going to speak to Mason about his experience with Chef Swap and some of the other really cool things that he's done, and also how the humanity of sales, where purpose meets profit, comes back. How doing good things in the world actually comes back and helps your business. So make sure to stick with us. We'll see you in a few.
Hello, my name is Tammy Hardy, and I'm a certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. I'm focused on helping clients build confidence and achieve their financial and life goals. I provide financial planning, investment management, tax planning, and estate strategies. And I'm also passionate about helping women build their financial confidence. Reach out to me, Tammy Hardy, today at thrivepws.com. That's thrivepws.com. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to the Humanity of Sales, where purpose meets profit. I have the great pleasure today to be talking with Mason Zeglin, who is the owner of Milk and Honey. It is the coffee cafe in Surfside Beach, South Carolina. He's been telling us about some very cool sustainability that he's been doing. We've also talked about the vibe of his shop. And now I want to talk about some of the cool things in Mason's background. So share with us if you want a story about first about competing on guys' grocery games or the big brunch or anything like that. And then I'd like a story about the Chef Swap.
So I had a great opportunity where I was doing a lot of just community work, whether that was cooking classes for ProStart or cooking classes for the community. We actually did a lot of cooking classes for fundraisers for the local college out in Montana. This kind of work got me noticed and eventually got me headhunted for the Food Network channel. So I had a great opportunity to go represent Montana, kind of for the first time. I was one of the first chefs from Montana, or the Montana region, to go out and compete on the Food Network channel, or at least for Guys Grocery Games. So that was a really cool opportunity. Did really well. Did a Meals from the Middle challenge where we had access to no fresh produce or proteins. It was canned goods or dried goods only, and how are we going to spin these ingredients into something that seemed extremely fresh and delicious at the same time? The challenges were pretty wild in the sense of like I had to cook like breakfast, lunch, and dinner throughout the show, and elevate these products that are kind of known for being subpar and kind of make them shine like they were fresh products. It was a great challenge. It made you think really outside the box. In that aspect, and being able to do Guys Grocery Games twice opened up the door while I was in lockdown for COVID. My wife and I sold our house in Montana, and we jumped in an RV and we started traveling the US. In those travels, one of my good friends called me up and was like, "You need to try out for this cooking competition. It's gonna be hosted by Dan Levy." And we just kind of had to, take a shot at it, So my wife filmed me driving the RV down the interstate with my small dog in my lap and started answering all these questions that they wanted for my interview while I was driving down the road. And it was just like a cute, fun, wholesome video of us living our life at the time, in this 300 square foot home on wheels. And it was a great opportunity to see the US and just adventure and hike and bike and ski and paddle our way through every state park. That opened up the door once I kind of decided that I was gonna live a little closer to home and stop chasing the snow so much. We wanted to be closer to our families. My family's still in Vermont. My wife's family's all pretty much entirely here in South Carolina now. Over the last 16 years, we visited the Surfside Beach many times. Pretty much after a couple months, I want to say it was about 2 months after I opened Milk and Honey, I got approached by the Chamber of Commerce, and they were wondering if I might be interested in being the host of a cooking competition. This competition was going to shine light on the chef community here in the Grand Strand and give those chefs an opportunity to tell their story of how they were influenced in the cooking industry and how they became a chef or why they stayed in the industry. And I thought it was such a great opportunity to have moved to a new area, not knowing anybody and not knowing the restaurant scene in this part of the country hardly at all, but to kind of jump in and start networking with all these fantastic chefs that were in the area and being able to start networking myself into the network and community that is here. And it's been such a win-win. It's given me all the connections in the area to know, hey, I need a local product. I know exactly who I'm going to call that's going to know that farmer that I need to be able to get that product. So it's just been such a great opportunity and symbiotic relationship to moving here and owning a business here. I hope that answers that question
It
for you.
does. It's fantastic. I think that it's very exciting. And you started the story with kind of the answer, one of the answers to the other thing I was mentioning that we were going to talk about in this half of the show, and that is with the show called The Humanity of Sales, Where Purpose Meets Profit. I do speak to the research that I've done on when, with the right intentions of doing good, when we do good for our people, for our customers, and for our communities, it does come back to us. Sometimes it comes back directly, other times it comes back from different areas. And in the beginning of your story, you were talking about how you were giving back, you were contributing to the students in Montana, and that's how they noticed you to invite you on this show. So that's just one of the ways. Can you think of any other way that what you do, the good things that you do for the community, how it has helped to grow your business?
I think it just trying to be there for your customers, especially in a small restaurant, it's so easy for people to go out to dinner and just try to consume to fill a void. I think that's probably 75% of the food industry. Like, I need food, I'm going to go out and buy said food and fill my stomach. In small business ownership, I think you have a great opportunity to break that mold and try to do something that's a little bit more. It's like, how can I take the small situations that I see? And that might be somebody eating, sitting alone that isn't, sitting on their laptop doing work. Maybe it's just somebody that doesn't have anybody else in this area. We have a lot of retirees in this area. They don't always have a network of friends or community around them. And that's a huge thing to being able to extend your longevity in life is community. And letting them giving them a voice to be heard and listening to them and seeing what they might need. That doesn't just represent, it represents who you are as a person and yourself as like the core being that you really are, but also represents your business. Like, you care about them. And when they have their family in town, they're going to make sure that they come down. They're also going to talk about your restaurant to other people that they meet in the area, and that's going to expand your clientele base. So it is a win-win in this industry to try to go above and beyond. And I think a lot of people just don't take that extra step or they don't find the energy to try to put that kind of effort into their product. And our product isn't just the food that we create. It's
The
a feeling.
experience.
It's environment that you're creating, so I think we've been very successful at trying to create that for our local community, and we are growing our community very rampantly in the Surfside area. We have more social groups coming in all the time, whether that's a church group or we've got like surf clubs that come in. They know where we like being outside and surfing and being active. We have, young and older groups. We've got family groups. We had a group for the first year and a half that was just, we called them the Wednesday women, because they go out to eat every Wednesday and they like to grab a pastry or a sweet treat and a tea or a coffee.
You know, it's funny, Mason. The first time I came to Milk and Honey, I was in line and there was this lovely woman in front of me. And I was looking and she goes, "Oh, what are you gonna get?" And I told her what I was thinking about. She goes, "Oh yes, those are delicious. Have you had?" And she mentioned one of the breakfast items that you have. And I'm like, "Oh no, I gotta try that." I said something about this is my first time, and she looked at me aghast, like, "What? This is your first time? It won't be your last. I'm here almost every day. My church group comes." She was just such an absolute pleasure. And I think that conversation really helped to solidify, well, that and the pastry really helped to solidify that this is a place that I wanted to come back to. It felt like home.
Yeah, and it's interesting how much our clientele base has kind of met each other in this process. I mean, every friend I've made in the Surfside area or Grand Strand area has come from, they were a customer first, and then they met me, and then we started talking, and then they started showing up more, and we had more conversations, and it just grew this friendship that has blossomed very quickly. That's also happened customer to customer, So I feel like in a more traditional sense of restaurant touring, it's harder to make those connections because you're sitting at one table, they're sitting at another table. Where you had that interaction in line, some of our tables are spaced very close together on purpose, and some of our tables are spread further out on purpose so that you can find those small conversations of the people next to you. In Italy, a lot of the tables are so close together, you're practically sitting at the same table. And that's to invite people to have those conversations with strangers or tourists or other locals. And I think it's been really nice to see that grow. I mean, we've got one individual, Jay, that used to eat breakfast every day alone. And now he comes in with a handful of our different regulars, that he knows they're going there anyways. They share phone numbers, they invite each other down. They meet each other down there, and it's those kind of connections that we're making in our community that I think will be a long-lasting tradition for the Milk and Honey brand. We're making those changes so that other people in the industry can also network in a similar way.
Yes, I absolutely love it. Now, this show is flying by, so we're closing out the show very soon. However, I have to just ask you really quickly about that one thing that we have in common. We're both adventurers. We found that out when we had a little conversation. I like to do weird things like jump out of airplanes and swim with sharks and surf and fly on the trapeze. And Mason's like, "Oh yeah, I do that too. Oh yeah, I surf almost every morning. And oh yeah, I've jumped out of," and we're like, "What?" So share with me your favorite adventure.
My favorite adventure is definitely New Zealand. My wife and I always had wanted to live there just because of the vast mountains and the ocean shore being so close in proximity so that we can do our favorite things in the same day. But it's just such a fantastic place, from being able to hike mountains that are over 10,000 feet to being able to surf, 6-foot waves, and the people are just so genuine and nice.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. So exciting. So, it ties back to I have a program called The Elements of Adventure, and I encourage people to live the adventure and use that adventure mindset in their lives. And I'm going to say that Mason, you and your wife, you do that. You share it in Milk and Honey Cafe, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing that, keep contributing to the community and to the world. Join us every Sunday here on Hot Talk 99.5 on the Humanity of Sales, where purpose meets profit.
You've been listening to Heather Hanson O'Neill, host of The Humanity of Sales, brought to you by Tammy Hardy, certified financial planner and founder of Thrive Private Wealth Strategies. Be sure to tune in each week on Sunday at 10 a.m. for more strategies and stories of purpose and profit.